The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines. And let's begin with this one from Real Simple, the Books List, Top Picks for Book Club and Beyond. And they offer five options for you, or recommendations. First, a piece of historical fiction called Absolution, the new novel from National Book Award winner Alice McDermott, I'll spell that, M-C, capital D-E-R-M-O-T-T. The book pays tribute to the overlooked wives of American men whose work in the government, military, or private firms stationed them near the center of the Vietnam War. Set mostly in Saigon in 1963, the story focuses on Tricia, a timid newlywed, and Charlene, the brash and glamorous woman who, for better or worse, takes her under her wing. You'll think about these characters long after the final page of this subtle, powerful story. A tearjerker. Two young men, Cam and TJ, are former best friends whose lives have taken different paths. After the death of his lover, Cam returns to their hometown of Houston, where he copes with his grief by overindulging in everything, sex, food, drugs. And TJ wonders whether there's anything left of the friend he used to know. Visceral and heartbreaking. Family Meal by Brian Washington, W-A-S-H-I-N-G-T-O-N, delves into loss and long friendships, exploring how we can reconnect with the people we need most. A Family Drama by Jean Kwok, K-W-O-K, called The Leftover Woman. Jasmine Yang has just arrived in New York City from China, where she's fled her abusive husband to track down the daughter she was forced to give up at birth. Uptown, Rebecca Whitney is a wealthy publishing executive juggling a major career hurdle while parenting her young daughter, who was adopted from China. As the two women's worlds intersect, this poignant mystery sparks fascinating questions about motherhood, class, and identity. Stunning Memoir. It's far from uncommon for celebrities to recount their humble beginnings, but stand-up comedian Ada Rodriguez, R-O-D-R-I-G-U-E-Z, has a backstory you truly need to read to believe in Legitimate Kid. She reveals how she was kidnapped twice by family members, survived abuse and homelessness, and ultimately found her way to success, including a Max special. Thanks to sheer grit and determination, this deeply candid and inspiring book reads like Rodriguez's love letter to her own inner child and will have you laughing through your tears. And last, A Wild Ride by Tim O'Brien, O-apostrophe-B-R-I-E-N, who also wrote The Things They Carried, is known for tectonic plate-shifting wartime fiction. With this one, America Fantastica, his first novel in over 20 years, he's focusing on the absurdity of modern times. It's 2019, and Boyd Halverson, a journalist turned online troll, has just robbed a bank and taken Angie Bing, the teller, hostage. Their journey from state to state, tailed by an eclectic assortment of characters, a billionaire, a murderous ex-lover, a hitman, is both an incisive social commentary and pure entertainment. From Good Housekeeping, does your brain need a spa day? Step up your mood with the surprising happiness and stress-relieving benefits of taking a simple walk. There are those days, perhaps you have them nearly every day, when you feel more irritated and moodier than you'd care to admit. Your kids are fighting over the Roku remote, while their unwashed dishes languish in the sink. Your boss is passing her pressures on to you, and your dog just made a midnight snack of your new rug. You may want to fly into a rage or bury your head in your pillow, but there is another option. Simply throw on your favorite pair of sneakers and go out for a walk. If you're taking an antidepressant, we're not suggesting that you simply walk instead. But putting one foot in front of the other can lift you up. It can improve your mood, lower your stress levels, and even clear away brain fog and rev up your brain power, in addition to all the physical benefits such as improving your heart health, reducing your risk of type 2 diabetes, protecting your bones, and easing joint pain. Walking works out your mental knots in several ways. For starters, it floods the brain with neurochemicals that help boost your mood, says Jennifer Heinz, PhD, an associate professor in the Department of Kinesiology at McMaster University, and the author of Move the Body, Heal the Mind. So I'll spell her name, her last name is Heise, H-E-I-S-Z. These include endorphins that reduce pain, serotonin to help you stay calm, and dopamine to activate your brain's reward system. Walking also makes you less reactive to everyday stressors, Heise adds. That's important because losing your cool when you realize the cashier forgot to remove the security tag from your new pants isn't just exhausting, but actually bad for your health. These stressors can actually erode our physical and mental health by damaging cells and causing an immune response that increases inflammation in the body and the brain, Heise explains. Walking can also keep your brain sharp. A study last year of healthy adults ages 40 to 79 found that those who walked around 5 miles a day were 51% less likely to develop dementia within 7 years than those who didn't walk much at all. And those who walked 2 miles a day cut their dementia risk by 25%. In another study, brain scans of people who walked briskly for 1 hour 3 times a week showed that the decision-making areas of their brains worked more effectively than those of people who attended education seminars instead. A long trek is great if you have the time, but you can get some of these benefits even with just a lunchtime power walk. Research shows that as little as 10 minutes of walking can lift your spirits. Regular walking actually modifies your nervous system so much that you'll experience a decrease in anger and hostility, says Melina B. Jampolis, MD, author of The Doctor on Demand Diet. Her last name, Jampolis. This can be particularly helpful during the colder months when seasonal depression tends to spike, and I know that firsthand. To really boost the brain-soothing power of walking, try these strategies, and there are four. Sweeten the deal. Start by reframing your thinking. Instead of calling your daily walk your workout, which makes it sound like, well, work, call it your wellness walk, which rebrands it as time for self-care. Then pair your walk with something you really love, like listening to a favorite podcast. Try Smart Less for major belly laughs, or your favorite Broadway show tunes or hip-hop jam. Another way to make the walk more stimulating? Turn it into a game by trying to, say, spot 7 different dog breeds or identify 3 distinct bird calls before you head home. Apps can help you do this. 2, tell your negative thoughts to take a hike. To truly feel the calming nature of a walk, find a place where you're surrounded by greenery. A study at Stanford University compared the effects of walking along a busy urban street with the effects of walking in a more natural setting. Participants randomly assigned to walk in the natural environment experienced lower levels of rumination, repetitive negative thoughts, that are linked to depression, and showed reduced neural activity in areas of the brain linked to risk for mental illness, says Gretchen C. Daly, Ph.D., Bing Professor of Environmental Science at Stanford University, and co-author of the study. Other studies have shown that connecting with nature can help people bounce back from stress. Nature focuses our attention on softly fascinating stimuli, like seeing beauty in a landscape or the sky, hearing birdsong or leaves rustling in a breeze, and smelling, even subconsciously, natural fragrances in a very beneficial way. 3, breathe with intention. Paying attention to your breathing while walking can transform the movement into a mindful meditation for a strong mood-boosting effect, says Heis. Try box breathing on your next walk. Imagine there's a box in front of your face and use your finger to trace its border. Breathe in as your finger goes up one side. Hold your breath as it goes across the top. Exhale as your finger moves down the other side, and then hold your breath again as it continues across the bottom to close the rectangle. If walking with a finger out feels weird, simply try breathing in every few steps, holding for a few steps, and then breathing out. It will soon feel as natural as, well, putting one foot in front of the other. And last, go with a goal. For some people, having an immediate end goal, like walking to the office or to the store to run errands, works best. For others, a more abstract, long-term goal, like signing up for a virtual 5K or an in-person race that raises money for a cause, does the trick. Joining an organized walk lets you connect with other people working toward the same goal and achieve that goal, which gives your brain a rush of dopamine, which makes you feel awesome. From Real Simple, Minor Issues, Major Opinions, Should Jeans Be Washed After Every Wear? Everybody's got their two cents. We collected them, then called on the experts to settle the debate once and for all. Readers say there are two different schools, yeah or nah. And just as an aside here, 68% of Instagram commenters say no. Under the yeah, and this is should jeans be washed after every wear, you don't realize what kind of germs you're carrying around after sitting on public surfaces. It's like wearing your dirty shoes around the house. And another person, why would you put dirty clothes on? And a third, yes, I just can't bring myself to wear them again without washing them. And under the nah column, wash only when stained, soiled, or smelly. And another, if the jeans are riding on a Harley motorcycle, you are to never wash them. So says my husband. And I'm an every two or three wearers kind of gal, barring any mishaps. And the experts check in saying, unless you got unusually filthy today, you can keep them out of the laundry. Jeans generally don't rub directly against the body parts that tend to have the most bacteria, says Kathleen Stanton, scientist at the American Cleaning Institute, who is assuming, we think fairly, that you wear undies. As for cooties from the outside world, you're safe from those too, says Michael G. Schmidt, Ph.D., a professor in the Department of Microbiology and Immunology at the Medical University of South Carolina. What's found on your jeans is mostly just the good kind of bacteria from your skin, he explains, adding that it's hard for anything too icky to thrive on jeans that aren't caked in dirt or damp. Bless, because the more you launder denim, the shorter its lifespan becomes. As you wash and wear jeans, the dye fades, says Mary Pearson, Senior VP of Denim Design at Madewell. In fact, back in 2016, University of Alberta researchers saw significantly more color and fiber loss in jeans washed every 2 days versus every 20 days. Of course, you will have to wash your jeans eventually. While some denim collectors will tell you to clean jeans by freezing them, Schmidt says that doesn't do squat. Microbes can survive freezing, he notes. Instead, turn jeans inside out and wash in cold water. Line dry afterward or machine dry on low heat and pull them out when they're still slightly damp, then lay flat. Just remember, the longer you wait to wash your jeans, the better they'll look on you. Shoot for 4 or 5 wears between trips to the hamper. From Good Housekeeping's Cleaning Lab, question, I'm looking for a fast and easy way to remove pet hair. Help! Answer, static electricity is what keeps pet hair clinging to clothing and household fabrics. So, to remove the fur, you have to break the staticky bonds. Recently, the Good Housekeeping Cleaning Lab evaluated 26 popular tools for removing pesky pet hair. We spread our industry-standard faux pet hair onto carpet, clothing, and velvet throw pillows. These four top performers were among those that worked fastest and were easiest to use and maintain. First, easiest to clean, this double-sided fuzz buster has OXO's famous comfy grip and cleans itself when slipped back into its simple to empty holder. It's the OXO Good Grips Fur Lifter Pet Garment Brush, $17, available on Amazon. Actually, all four of these options are available on Amazon. Second, the gentlest picker-upper, like a baby bulldozer for pet hair, this versatile grabber has six unique features, including squeegees and a crevice tool to gather hair into a pile for you to collect and toss. This is the Neater Pet Brands Fur Dozer X6 6-in-1 Pet Hair Remover, available for $20 on Amazon. Three, the biggest fur trapper, perfect for furniture, stair treads, and more. Chom Chom's large roller cleans in one pass and stashes hair in a separate chamber so the roller is always ready to use. This is the Chom Chom Roller Pet Hair Remover, $25 on Amazon. And the best on-the-go tool, the small size and grippy sides of this tool mean that even hair trapped between car seats, on the mats, or stuck to the carpet in the trunk is within reach. It's the Annalan Mini Pet Hair Detailer, available for $16 on Amazon. And as an adjunct to that, four ways to prevent pet hair pileup in the first place. The secret to keeping fabrics free of pet hair is to stay ahead of the problem. Try these tricks. 1. Groom your pet. The more fur you remove from your dog or cat, the less you'll have to pull off fabrics. 2. Vacuum regularly. Nab clumps of pet hair that collect in corners, around pet bedding, and in the car before they become airborne or cling to clothing. Spray away static. Before vacuuming or brushing fabrics, apply a static zapping spray like Static Guard, available for $7 at Target, to make it easier to remove hair. And last, try a dryer sheet. If pet hair makes it through the wash cycle, toss in a dryer sheet like Bounce Pet Hair and Lint Guard, available for $10 for 60 sheets at Amazon. In our test, it sent fur straight to the lint filter, where we gathered it up. From Real Simple, mistakes you didn't know you were making, setting the table. Sarah Picot and Amy Burstyn Fritz, sisters and co-founders of the super cool dinnerware brand Mizette, serve up some tips so you don't fork this up. And there are three. 1, you wait till the last minute. Sometimes a setup can look amazing in your head, but we'll need adjustments when you lay it all out, Burstyn Fritz says. Try to do your tablescape the day before. That will give you time to zhuzh. Bonus, you can check set the table off your to-do list. 2, you forgot the centerpiece. You don't need anything elaborate, but you do need something to add personality and polish, Picot says. Her best tip? Go with little groupings, like assortments of candles and bud vases, that are easy to move around to make room for trivets and platters. And last, you get too matchy-matchy. Mix it up. Just follow these guidelines from Burstyn Fritz. If you have multiple colors, stick to one pattern, like stripes. If you're playing with patterns, use a maximum of 3 in a similar palette, but varied in scale. But if you want to go all out, just go nutsy. From Woman's Day, pierogi with sautéed cabbage. Active time 20 minutes, and so's the total time, and this serves 4. Here's what we need. A 16-ounce box of frozen potato and onion pierogi, 4 slices bacon, 1 tablespoon olive oil, 1 onion sliced, half of a small Savoy cabbage, about 1 pound, cored and thinly sliced, kosher salt and pepper, and 1 tablespoon whole grain mustard. Pan-fry pierogi per package directions. Meanwhile, cook bacon in a large skillet on medium, flipping once until crisp, 5 to 6 minutes. Transfer to a paper towel-lined plate. Let cool, then break into pieces. Wipe out the skillet and heat oil on medium. Add onion and cook covered, stirring occasionally, 5 minutes. Add cabbage and season with 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Cook covered, stirring occasionally until vegetables are just tender, 2 to 3 minutes. Stir in mustard and 1 tablespoon water and cook 1 minute. Fold in bacon and serve with pierogi. And a WD, or that's Woman's Day, test kitchen tip. Want to take this dish over the top? Dollop the pierogi with sour cream and sprinkle with chopped fresh parsley or dill. Another from Woman's Day, steak with beans and roasted broccolini. Active and total time are both 25 minutes and it serves 4. We need 3 bunches of broccolini, trimmed and cut into large florets. 2 large cloves of garlic, roughly chopped. 1 tablespoon fennel seeds, lightly crushed. 3.5 tablespoons olive oil, divided. Kosher salt and pepper. 1 15-ounce can of white beans, rinsed. 2 1.5-inch thick strip steaks, each about 12 ounces. 3 tablespoons sherry vinegar. 1 teaspoon honey. 1 shallot, finely chopped. 1/4 cup flat-leafed parsley, finely chopped. That's all the ingredients. Heat oven to 425. On a large rimmed baking sheet, toss broccolini, garlic, and fennel seeds with 2 tablespoons oil and 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Roast, tossing once, 9 minutes. Add beans and roast until heated through, 3 minutes. Meanwhile, heat 1/2 tablespoon oil in a large cast iron skillet on medium high. Season steaks with 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper and cook until deep brown, 3 minutes per side. Transfer skillet to the oven and roast along with the broccolini to desired doneness, 4 to 5 minutes for medium. Transfer to a cutting board and let rest 5 minutes before slicing. While the steaks and broccolini are cooking in a small bowl, combine vinegar, honey, and 1/4 teaspoon salt to dissolve. Mix in shallot and let sit 5 minutes. Stir in remaining tablespoon of oil, then parsley and any fennel seeds left on broccolini sheet pan. Serve spooned over the steak and broccolini, and it's a nice looking dish, I must say. From Woman's Day, tiramisu dip. Active time is 15 minutes, total time is 25. It serves 6. 3 ounces bittersweet chocolate, finely chopped. 1.5 cups of heavy cream, divided. 1/4 cup of Kahlua. 8 ounces mascarpone cheese. 1/2 cup confectioner's sugar, that's powdered sugar. 1/2 teaspoon instant espresso powder. 1/2 teaspoon pure vanilla extract. Kosher salt. Unsweetened cocoa powder for dusting. And lady fingers for dipping. That's a cookie, not your actual fingers. Place chopped chocolate in a medium bowl. In small saucepan, combine 1/4 cup of heavy cream and the Kahlua and heat on medium until simmering, 3 to 4 minutes. Or microwave in bowl until hot, about 1 minute. Pour cream mixture over chocolate. Let sit 5 minutes, then stir until smooth. Refrigerate until cool but still pourable, 10 to 15 minutes. Meanwhile, in a stand mixer fitted with whisk attachment on medium, beat mascarpone, confectioner's sugar, espresso powder, vanilla, and a pinch of salt until smooth and creamy, 1 to 2 minutes. Gradually, add remaining 1 1/4 cups of heavy cream and beat until stiff peaks form, 2 to 3 minutes. Divide tiramisu dip among glasses they're showing what almost looks like one of those stemless wine glasses, something like that. Layering with chocolate sauce and gently folding to swirl. Dust with cocoa powder and serve with ladyfingers. Alternatively, in a large bowl, fold chocolate sauce into the dip and serve family style. That also is a very nice looking piece. Also from Women's Day, all of these are from Women's Day today, mocha cookies. Active time is 25 minutes, total 50 plus cooling, and this makes 24. We're going to use that instant espresso powder again, 2 tablespoons worth, 2 tablespoons whole milk, 2.5 cups all-purpose flour, 1/2 cup unsweetened cocoa powder, 1 teaspoon baking soda, 3/4 teaspoon kosher salt, 1 cup or 2 sticks unsalted butter, melted, 1 cup packed light brown sugar, 2 large eggs, 1 teaspoon pure vanilla extract, 1 cup semi-sweet chocolate chips, and flaky salt for sprinkling. Heat oven to 350. Line 2 large baking sheets with parchment paper. In a small bowl, stir espresso powder and milk until dissolved. In a medium bowl, whisk flour, cocoa powder, baking soda, and salt. In a large bowl, whisk butter and brown sugar to combine. Add eggs and whisk until lightened in color, about 2 minutes. Add espresso powder mixture and vanilla and whisk until combined. I think I'm going to start back in a large bowl just to make sure I didn't miss anything. In a large bowl, whisk butter and brown sugar to combine. Add eggs and whisk until lightened in color, about 2 minutes. Add espresso mixture and vanilla and whisk until combined. Add dry ingredients and mix until few dry streaks remain. Add chips and fold until combined. Using medium cookie scoop that holds about 3 tablespoons, scoop dough onto prepared baking sheets, spacing 2 inches apart. Sprinkle with flaky salt. Bake cookies until edges are just set, 8 to 10 minutes. Let cool on sheets 10 minutes, then transfer to wire racks and let cool completely. From Real Simple, cocktail time with bourbon. We've got a bourbon sour. This recipe makes 1. Add 2 ounces or 1/4 cup of bourbon, 3/4 ounce or 2 tablespoons fresh lemon juice, 3/4 ounce or 1.5 tablespoons simple syrup, and 1 egg white to a cocktail shaker. Shake until frothy and combined. Add ice cubes and shake again. Strain into a coupe glass. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. We hope that you listen again next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. And Ladies Magazine is available as a podcast on our website, www.ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.